Yeah, and I want to touch a bit more on that scrimmage last night you were just talking about there. Coach Richmond definitely mentioned that there was definitely some ups and downs, but more on that defensive side of the ball.
I think the fans are going to be, should be excited. These kids are going to play with heart, and we're going to have some fun. If this is heaven, I'm in it. I mean, this is awesome stuff.
We're just going to go play them, and we'll go have the pride, the passion, and compete, and then hopefully that pays off in the tournament.
The Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome here to the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM, the Coach's Show here on this beautiful Saturday morning. Good morning as well. My name is Michael Hooker. Joining me this morning is Dawson Peril. Dawson was at the game last night, but speaking on that, we have some stats here from last night. Just looking, overall, the game did not go in Pendleton Heights' favor. They did end up losing 34-14 against a tough New Palestine Dragons team. And speaking on that, their running back, Grayson Thomas, had 31 rushing attempts for 201 yards. He lost 9 yards, so his net value was around 192 there. Averaged 6.2 yards per carry, had one touchdown on a 56-yard run. Just overall had a really great game. Isaac was rushing the ball a lot, had 15 attempts for 46 yards, averaged 3.1 yards, no touchdowns, and his longest run was 10 yards. And then looking at the passing game, Isaac Wilson led the way there. 24 attempts, 9 completions, 2 INTs for 96 yards and a touchdown. His longest pass of the night was 31 yards and was sacked 3 times. And then Colton Frank also got in there as well, had 10 attempts for 4 completions, 1 INT, 29 yards, and 1 touchdown as well. And then the receiving game, we have 5 names there. Isaac Wilson is one of them. Coach Richmond has really been changing it up with Isaac, using him in the slot, in the backfield as a running back, and at quarterback. So it's really just been a different feel for this offense with Isaac Wilson in those different positions.
Yeah, this New Pal team, it was a tough one. I mean, underneath Coach Kyle Ralph, they've been one of the best football teams in the state. Kyle Ralph, been the head coach for the New Pal Dragons the past 11 seasons. When he's the head coach, they've gone 118 and only 13 losses. They've won 3 state titles. He was the fastest Indiana coach in history to reach 100 wins. Only took him 109 games. So I think that just sums up how good Coach Kyle Ralph is. He played in college at UNC, and obviously, unfortunately, he didn't get his break in the NFL, but I wouldn't say unfortunately because he found a success in coaching. So he really is just, I think, the best piece of that New Pal team, although he's not on the field playing the game. But as you mentioned, Grayson Thomas, I mean, he is such an explosive guy. When he hits those holes, and the holes that he's going to have almost every time with a very good offensive line, a very big offensive line, he's going to explode to that second level in a blink of an eye, and he could be gone. He was showing off a lot of speed last night. Opening off in the second half, the first play, New Pal, went, I think it was 56 yards for a touchdown, Grayson Thomas. Again, I think New Pal is just a really, really tough team. But I think for Pendleton Heights, you know, I think some players were there mentally, some weren't. I think after that first touchdown, I'm sure what Coach Richmond, what he touched on last night in our postgame interview, and what I'm sure he'll touch on here today, is I think a lot of players on Pendleton Heights just kind of said, oh, we tried our best after that first play, and, you know, you just can't do that. So I think Pendleton Heights, again, and it wasn't every player, right? There were some very, very good performances out there for Pendleton Heights. A couple names that got mentioned in our postgame interview, Ryan Kiesling, he had a great night. Some other guys, I'm not entirely remember the names on, of course. I think Colton Frank showed a lot of poise. Of course, he got in there as quarterback for quite a while. After he threw that pick, he got benched for Isaac Wilson. But he showed some very accurate throws. Wide receivers didn't have the best night. We had a lot of drops around. But, I mean, New Pal's coverage is tough. So, in the end of the day, I think, you know, you didn't get the win. But there were some things you did right. And a lot of things that you need to work on heading into another tough week at Mount Vernon.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. I mean, one thing this team really, their bright spot is their defense. I mean, defense is made up of 10 out of the 11 starters are seniors. One of them was named an All-State last year, mm-hmm. Nolan Souders. Nolan had a pretty good game, had a near interception early in the game that was ruled a catch for New Pal. It was just a 50-50 ball. They both got a hand on it, but the New Pal receiver came down with it. But then later on, he got a pick. Him and Clint Miller both went up, and Nolan came down with that one. Gave the offense another chance for the ball when they were really trying to dig themselves out of a hole and try to get the win late into the game, because it was 34-14 at that point. But, you know, overall, the defense had a pretty good performance last night. They played a really tough team. That offensive line, as you mentioned, is a very big offensive line, and Grayson Thomas is just he's a guy in the backfield at running back. You know, he's not afraid. If he doesn't get it up the middle, he'll just bounce outside, and he has a really mean stiff arm, and he can just, you know, he can throw a defender off of him if he needs to. That's just one of the perks of having a bigger physical running back like that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you mentioned there, Michael, with the Arabian defense. I mean, this is a New Pal team that was coming off of a 63-point performance against Mount Vernon. Gavin Neal, their starting quarterback, the sophomore, had 5 touchdowns. That's a record-tying performance, single-game performance against the Marauders. So we knew, I mean, before that, New Pal, I didn't think, really showed off their full potential on offense. I mean, they had 42 points against Decatur Central, but only, I mean, only, but that, I guess that's objective. 30 against Yorktown, and then 14 against Westfield. So Mount Vernon, they really showed that this offense is about it. So Pendleton Heights, yeah, their defense had some bright spots, but at the end of the day, just couldn't get the win.
Yeah, and one thing to touch on, this is their second lowest scoring game of the season. Earlier they had a 30-point scoring performance against Yorktown. They didn't really play to their full potential, and as you mentioned there, the Mount Vernon game, they really proved that they were that kind of a team. So really, it was overall just a really good game from New Pal in that Mount Vernon week, and then they tried to come out firing. I mean, they took the opening kickoff to 6.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just one thing that you don't really see a lot. Greenfield obviously had a returner that has 3 kick return touchdowns. New Pal did it last night. So really, it's not something that you see very often.
Oh, no, definitely not. And you mentioned there that opening kickoff return by Kyler Kropp for New Pal. I think it was a wake-up call for Pendleton Heights. Unfortunately, they just didn't pick up the call, I think, is the bottom line. Kyler Kropp then scored a touchdown just 5 minutes later after a 3-and-out for Pendleton Heights. So I think that was kind of just a you know, you need to be on your A game at every single play, and you need to be dialed in every single play, because stuff like that can happen, especially against such an explosive New Pal team. I mean, just that first kickoff return, I think, summed it up, just how explosive they can be. Just it was some good blocks, and he shed a couple tackles, but at the end of the day, there were a couple guys out of position. You know, there was some mistakes on that opening kickoff, and it did hurt. I think that's, you know, you talk about momentum, and especially the opening momentum, like that's the best way to get it on an opening kickoff. And I think, yes, that puts 6 points on the scoreboard, but on top of that, you get that momentum, and it's hard to shut down a team, especially when they're at home, when they get that early momentum. So New Pal, again, they were a great team. It was just I think Pendleton Heights, you just gotta give it your all every play.
Yeah, and on that note, me and Dawson are going to take a quick break. But when we return, I believe we have Coach Richmond sitting down with us for a recap of last night's game. But you are listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Twister's Soda Bar, located at 3289 West Engle Road, right across from Pendleton Heights High School. Twister's Soda Bar offers a variety of drinks, including sodas, seltzers, lemonades, iced coffee, sweetened or unsweetened tea, snacks, and can combine any of those with their syrups, creams, fruit, candy, and edible glitter. Open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. More information is available at twistersodabar.com. Twister's Soda Bar.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Detour Salons and Style. Detour Salons and Style provides women, men, and children haircuts, special occasions, spa days, gift certificates, float tank therapy, massage therapy, permanent makeup, lash extensions, signature facials, IPL laser therapy, red carpet facials, and treatments such as teeth bleaching, hair removal, and more. On Facebook and Twitter or at DetourSalon.com, Detour Salon and Style.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM. As now joining us is the head coach of the varsity football team, Coach Richmond. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right, so starting things off, last night you guys traveled to New Pal and faced a tough New Palestine Dragons team, taking your second loss of the year, falling 34-14. So what really can you take from this game to improve on for next week?
Well, the first 3 weeks, we played very good team football. All three phases were cohesive. Somewhere in the last six quarters, we've gotten away from that. We're not playing a cohesive, complementary football like I was bragging on the guys the first 3 weeks. We've allowed situations, we've allowed variables and adversity, noise, maybe internal pressure that kids put on themselves to take away. And those are the kinds of things that losers say. And we're not losers. So we've got to correct those things because New Pal is talking about how they overcame those things. They've had flu. They've had injuries. Their best player is out, Michael Thacker. And they set the bar. And after watching the film, I don't think our kids were intimidated. I don't think our players, I don't know why we were flat. I don't know why we chose to allow things to get to us other than we're human. And I said it last night, I believe in this, I believe in our kids. I always have. I mean, I've been here 8 years now. I watch these kids. I mean, shoot, these seniors were 10 years old when I came to town. And I've watched them grow up. They're tremendous young men. We met last night after the game. And they're going to answer for this, and they're going to answer to this, and they're going to be better for this the rest of their lives. And that sounds dramatic, but these seniors will remember that game last night. And they're going to work through tough times on down the road that are way tougher than a football game. You know, somebody said that to me walking off the field, just the game coach, hang in there. When you pour your life into kids and you have a relationship-based job like I do, it isn't just a game. It's about these kids. It's about the coaches in here who also care about these kids. And that's where I get passionate and I get upset when people don't understand that. And they take it for granted. It's their ignorance, and it's not their fault. They don't understand what I understand. They don't see what I see. And I'm not going to stop believing in our guys, and I'm not going to stop being who I am, trying to get the best out of them. So not quite sure if that answered your question, but I can tell you that's where my mind's at today, that I'm excited to see these guys again today, and not to tell them what they did wrong. That's not what this morning is about. This morning is about picking them up. It's about answering for something that, you know, you could do better, and it's about using that to be better every day here on out.
All right, and you mentioned there that you had a team meeting with the seniors last night. You have a pretty big senior class,
yeah,
and about 24, 25 seniors this year.
Yeah.
And one of those to mention, he started since his sophomore year, is Nick Trout. He had a very good game. He's been leading the team in tackles the past couple of years. And last night, he was getting to the running back almost every play. So how much of a leader is Nick Trout for this team?
Well, I mean, he's a staple. He plays all three phases. He stepped in for injured Caleb Day last night, did a really good job with his snaps on punt team. He's physical every play. Played more offensive snaps in some ways last night than he's been playing. From what I've seen, graded pretty well. Even got a carry. He's one of multiple seniors who did play their hearts out last night. But at the same time, how do we get some guys who maybe were wavering a little bit mentally, or wavering a little bit on being disciplined? You know, we can play as hard as we can, but if we're not where we're supposed to be and executing what we're supposed to do, then what's, I mean, that's inconsistent, and that's not being the best we can be as a team. So that's the challenge to guys like Nick and the rest of the leaders on this team, and that is to get the rest of the guys to play up to a level that sometimes I don't know if we realize what we could do. And that's normal, right? I mean, that's normal life. You don't realize the successes you can have and the successes you can make. And you put limits on yourself. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if we can get that done. You know, we had a great speaker a couple of weeks ago talked about just because you can't see the stars doesn't mean you can't reach for them. And last night we couldn't see the stars, and it's discouraging, but it shows us what we have to teach as a teacher and as a leader. And that's where together, you know, guys like Nick and I, we gotta be better.
Yeah, and of course, heading into that matchup, a big, big factor for New Pal is their offensive line. It's a huge reason why their run game is just so dominant. Of course, Ian Moore and the Ohio State commit, including many other guys. And considering that, your defensive line did get to Gavin Neal a number of times. There was a couple plays where they got to Grayson Thomas behind the line of scrimmage. So considering the size difference, considering New Pal, their dominance over the first four games of the season, how do you think your defensive line performed last night?
Here's what I would say, just collectively. You know, we gave up a pick six and a kickoff return. So they scored 20 points. We went for it on fourth down in the middle of the field twice, and they got two field goals out of that. So you can do the math there, right? We held them to two touchdowns. Is that right? Is that my right math there? We got we gave up two non-defensive touchdowns.
Yeah.
Then we gave, you know what I mean? So that's a rhetorical question. Sorry, Dawson. I know it's 8:15.
Yeah, I got you.
I know. Mrs. Hunkler, I hope she's listening and cringing a little at our math, right? But in all seriousness, we gave up two touchdowns, okay? And that's what, again, those are the things you look for between the lines, you know? Coach Ralph's blasting his team in the paper for being sloppy and not doing well in the second half. He left their starters were in the whole game. I mean, and he's trying to teach his team how to win and finish games. I respect that. He's not doing anything he's not doing anything we didn't do when people were upset with me because we didn't rotate guys early in the season. Early in the season against Newcastle, people were upset, why aren't we getting this guy in? Why aren't we getting that guy in? Okay? People were questioning, and that's fair. That's what fans do. Good for you. That's all good. Good questions. We're trying to learn how to win and finish a game. That's what they were doing last night. And he wants to keep talking about how he's got a young team and he is starting multiple sophomores. And I'm not worried about him as much, but we've got to learn how to win and finish games still. It would help if we started him a little bit better too, you know what I mean? Uncharacteristic to start the game and then letting things kind of get to us. But at the end of the day, you know, we've got to really recenter and refocus on us right now. And we've got to make sure their size, I mean, are you kidding me? Greenfield's bigger than them. And the perspective is all in the eyes of your head. I mean, I'm a little person, maybe. I'm 5'7 on a good day. I've been little all my life. It is not. Coach Frazier said it before the game. It is not the size of the dog. It's the fight in the dog. And we got some dogs in our locker room. Absolutely do. And that's you can't allow everyone. Everyone's going to be bigger than us moving on. So I think it's important that we keep perspective. Like, just because a guy's going to Ohio State, just because a guy is, 6'7", 300 pounds, doesn't mean we can't carry out our disciplines and attack that offense or defense the way it needs to be.
All right, well, on that note, that will do it for this segment of the Coach's Show, but don't go anywhere because we will have Coach Richmond with us in the next segment looking ahead to next week and their matchup against another tough opponent. You are listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coach's Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Citizens State Bank. Citizens State Bank offers personal and business banking loans and investing services. Citizens State Bank has hours Monday through Saturday with a 24-hour drive-up ATM located in Pendleton at 129 South Pendleton Avenue and online at mycsbin.com. Again, that's mycsbin.com.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Anita's Diner, located at 777 East Water Street in Pendleton. Daily specials both eat in and carry out from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. More information at 765-778-0001. Again, that's 765-778-0001. Anita's Diner.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM, as we are in our second segment here with head coach of the varsity football team, Coach Richmond, looking ahead to this week. So starting things off, this week you guys have another tough opponent after both Greenfield and New Pal. That is Mount Vernon, who is considered to probably be the school's biggest rival. So what kind of challenges does Mount Vernon provide that maybe New Pal or Greenfield won't?
That's a good question. They can definitely they're definitely a big play offense. You know what I've seen. You know their quarterback is. I think he's outstanding. I think he's the best quarterback we've played. That's no disrespect to the previous two, because the previous two are really really good. You know, and but he can flat out put it downfield. The way he climbs the pocket and steps up fearlessly into the pocket, he trusts his linemen. He trusts his receivers, and it all starts with their quarterback, and then they have two explosive receivers and a really dynamic running back. And so we're gonna have to be good in space. We're gonna have to trust each other and trust our keys on that side of the ball. Defensively they are a pressure defense. They had a really good game Friday, holding a very good Delta team under their average, I believe. So they're improving. And, these seniors that they have been state champions as sophomores. So they know how to win ball games. So they're hitting middle of the season here, and they've won a big game. They just knocked off a top 10 team. So, that we talk about the process, and we talk about, one game not being bigger than the next, and we do that for events like last Friday. If the stage was too big, or we flinched in the last 2 weeks, like the better you are, the bigger the games get. And our conference, the rest of the season, there's not a game you can look at and be like, yep, that's a win. And if anybody's talking like that, I'm not saying that we're going to lose any more games. I'm saying that because if we don't have a respect and a cautiousness with, hey, we got to be locked in and we need to go compete and be excited for that opportunity and to come to work every day, the wins and losses take care of themselves. They really, really do. And that's, I think, the most discouraging thing from last Friday. I don't want to repeat the disappointing feeling of not playing our best. Losses are losses. I hate losing. That's not the point. The point is like we need to go out there and do the best we can do. That's the expectation. And we did not do that Friday. And it doesn't matter who we're playing this Friday. We better do that this Friday. That's what we owe to this town and this community and the school and ourselves most of all. That's what we owe to ourselves. And that's something I really, really, it's like salt in the wound this morning that some of our guys just don't understand. It's about them, and it's about what they stand for individually as a group. And we need to make sure that we're owning that, and we take that towards Mount Vernon now.
Yeah, and you mentioned there just a little bit ago about Mount Vernon's quarterback, Luke Ertle, who is only a sophomore and is a very dynamic thrower. So what kind of preparations are you going to make for him and their explosive offense?
Well, it's nothing complex. It's the basics. I told the team last night, we need to get off of blocks. We need to stick on blocks. I said that in our pregame. We did not do that. Kids did what they wanted to do. And we got out scrapped and out hustled. That's the sort of thing where we didn't play our best. That's what I'm talking about. Our coaches, and this isn't a blame game, our coaches had us prepared. Okay. We've got to prepare better because obviously mentally we didn't feel it was important to do the things we were talking about doing. So, I know we'll have a different mindset today. It doesn't matter who we're playing. They pose different threats. New Pal throws it deep. Mount Vernon throws it deep. New Pal's got speed. Mount Vernon's got speed. They have a different type of back, I thought both surfaces did an outstanding job last week replicating Grayson Thomas in practice. And it really made us better. It made him better on the other side, too. And I really got to brag on him for that. He did an outstanding job. the week before, we had great scout teams look on offense. We got to do the same thing with some dynamic receivers and and with a dynamic tailback, which we also have. So we've got the pieces to simulate what they do. And so we should be very, very well prepared this coming Friday.
Yeah, and of course, this week in practice will be the literal middle of the season. You've played four games. You got four games left in the regular season, that is. And I know we touched on it a bit in our pregame interview yesterday, but considering injuries and fatigue is a big problem here in the middle of the season, you see a lot of guys go down, already a couple were inactive last night. Who are you more expecting to step up and take in those spots in these next four games, or really just the next couple games?
I didn't think that was a factor last night, to be honest with you. I thought Jacob Rowley did a really good job. I thought, which he's been a piece of the defense. I thought Ashawn Singh stepped in last night, outside backer, did a really good job. I thought Jacob McKinley did an outstanding job playing right tackle. We went without a tight end, without Caleb, but that's okay. It's not okay, don't get me wrong, but it's like that did not affect the outcome of the game. So, and none of that affected special teams. You know, I mean, Nick Trout stepped up and snapped the ball. Where I was most concerned last night was our long snapping. And no one thinks about that, but Caleb Day is an outstanding long snapper. You know, I mean, little thing, he's a really good tight end too, but he's gotten better and better at tight end. But, you know, he doesn't have a catch on the season, so people don't notice that. Fans don't notice that. So it's not in their fantasy points, right? I mean, let's be honest. But he does a lot of dirty work for this team in blocking and long snapping, things like that. Gabe Martin does too. And Rylan Kiesling does too. Now, Rye has more stats, but we had guys step up last night. And, you know, there's nothing there that worries me. I mean, everybody's going to have players out at this time of year. We train for this. And it's a really good question by you. But anybody that allows stuff like that to determine a win or a loss, they're looking for an out, in my opinion. They're looking for an excuse. So we got a great locker room of kids that are going to be ready to play.
All right, well, that will do it for this segment with Coach Richmond. Thank you for joining us this morning. When we return earlier this week, we got to sit down with the running back room in Bo Surface and Keaton Jones. So that will be coming up next. But you are listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is brought to you by House of Service Heating and Air Conditioning, located at 8711 South State Road 9 in Pendleton, serving Pendleton and surrounding communities since 1960, offering residential heating and air conditioning service and installation, as well as financing and preventative maintenance plans. More information is available at 765-778-3838, House of Service Heating and Air Conditioning.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Hello, my name is Jackson Todd. I'm here with
Bo Surface, number 9 running back,
and Keaton Jones, number 6 running back.
All right, so obviously we have two running backs with us today. So guys, obviously you guys both play offense, both running back. How do you guys play off each other's energy during the games?
So I feel like we both have been working at this for a while. Last year, we kind of came in the position at the same time. We were playing different positions. I play defense too. So we both kind of started running back at the same time. And I feel like we've grown, had our fair shares of, you know, fumbles, whatever. I mean, yeah. And so I feel like we know each other pretty well. So we know what we need to work on together. So when we're coming off from plays, we'll say what hole we missed or what cut was good there. So I feel like, especially Keaton, he always can see the holes and knows what moves to make. So, yeah.
Awesome. Just kind of bouncing ideas and stuff off of each other.
Exactly.
Awesome. Keaton, how about you?
Especially when it comes to like playing in games, I love playing alongside Bo because after like every drive, if we score or not, getting back on the sideline, giving each other feedback, love hearing that and love encouraging each other. It feels like it really pushes both of us, even if we both mess up. Kind of like not too long ago, like, Bo, you can agree, maybe not had the best game, but just coming over to you on the sideline, letting you know to keep your head up and stuff like that. We're both really good at that with each other.
For sure. So not a big rivalry here, just kind of you know, helping each other get better.
We've started some games together. He started one, I've started another. And I even say, you know, right now he's our running back one, you know. Like we talked about, I had a Newcastle game. I didn't do too hot, you know. I got the keys taken from me with I had a couple fumbles, so you know, fighting to earn my reps back. But you know, I love watching Keaton succeed, and I love watching him run the ball. I call him Joystick because it's just the moves he does out there is crazy.
For sure. So moving away from you guys, but are there any games that you guys personally have had you know, kind of circled this year and kind of, you know, have been looking forward to?
I would say the previous Greenfield game, just because that's who knocked us out last year out of sectionals, and was really hoping to get that one. And but you know, it happens, and I feel like the loss is gonna make us a better team and moving forward. But yeah, I'd say that was a pretty big game, and I'm not worried about our team though. I know we've definitely improved this week.
For sure. Keaton, how about you?
I'm personally looking forward to Mount Vernon. I mean, these past few years, they've gotten the best of us. But I feel like, especially this year, the team we've kind of built, we really have a good chance this year to finally knock them off. Yeah.
Awesome. So Greenfield, Mount Vernon. So kind of expand on that a little bit for me, especially Keaton. Bo, you did a good job just saying, you know, kind of stings a little bit, you know, after they knocked us out and a tough loss, but hopefully we'll get to line up against them again. But Keaton, so what is it? You know, obviously they're a good team, you know, state champs last year, but you know, what is it about them that kind of makes you want to go get that one?
I mean, you know, even when I was watching my older brother Christian Jones play, even at that age, watching him, like, they continue to beat us, and I finally, like, I want to make that change, especially with this team.
Yeah.
And with the amount of seniors we have, like, I really want to get it done. I really want to beat them.
Yeah, for sure. So you guys have both kind of touched on it a little bit, but how does this year's team differ from teams of the past? Obviously, you guys have both been playing for a while, so you've seen, you know, a couple squads come and go, but what's different about this year's team?
This year's team, I feel like, especially, like I said, with the amount of seniors we have, and I just feel like this team, we're all so much more, like, connected with each other. Like, we bond, like, all of us, our whole team, we all bond really well together. After some games, like, we'll hang out at, like, Bo's house, the whole team. That's just something I think that...
just a little closer.
Yeah.
Yeah, tight-knit.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think the chemistry is something different. You can feel it. You can feel it in the locker room. You can feel it after games. Feel it during practice. You know, coming from Shenandoah, I experienced my freshman year there playing football for them. And, you know, I played with my brother there, so that was awesome. But coming to Pendleton and seeing the connections that these guys have, I mean, they were my class, the senior class now, was unstoppable in middle school. And, just they've been great players going throughout high school, and I think just being able to watch that and being part of that, and then seeing how they act with each other off the field, and so inclusive, you know, they included me immediately. And I think one of the cool things about this team too is we don't care if you're a freshman, you know, sophomore, anything.
Yeah,
like Keaton was saying, you know, he's always over at my house, and I try to leave that open, because, you know, I think that's important that you don't have any barriers as teammates, and I think that's one of the things that we do really good, and I think the coaches have helped us out with that, you know, sending us to team camps and everything. And yeah, I think just the amount of time we spend outside of the game is what really makes us close.
For sure. That's great for any team. So Bo, this one's kind of just for you, you know, being a senior now, looking back on not only your football career, but just your athletic career as a whole, you know, you've worked out and been around other teams, but what's some of your biggest takeaways from, you know, just your entire life playing sports?
That's a good question. So I don't really have any, I don't plan to play any sports in college right now. You know, if something comes, that's awesome. I'll rethink my decisions then. But I don't know. I love being part of a team. And, you know, even when I may not get to play every down, or I may be on the sidelines for however long, it really doesn't bother me too much, because I like just being in a team. And I think that's my biggest takeaway, is that you got to be able to find your joy not only in your own success, but your team's success, because I mean, it can kill a attitude and personality, which is only going to infect the whole team. And so I think you got to find your joy within the team, and just be patient. I mean, I've had a lot of JV time. I've had a lot of scout team time, yeah. Especially, you know, baseball too. And sometimes, yeah, I've questioned that. I've questioned, you know, why am I here? Why am I not playing at a higher, you know, with the varsity? But there's always great lessons you can learn at any level of high school sports, and I love it. That's one of the things, and I don't wish I didn't do my career any different. I would go back doing it exactly the same, and I've had a great time.
That's awesome. So last one here, Keaton, last game, you know, pretty nice production. Not a lot of touches though. So what was it? Help me out. Five carries?
Yeah.
40 yards?
Yeah,
what was it?
Five carries for 40 yards at a touchdown. And the funny thing is, I was the only running back on the whole team that got carries.
Yeah.
Like no other running back did.
Yeah.
And then it was just me and Isaac that got carries the whole game.
Yeah.
But I think the reason why I didn't get as many carries is like the whole game, I feel like we were kind of passing a lot more than we usually do. And also kind of the way our offense is kind of built. Isaac Wilson, he runs the ball a lot.
Yeah.
Sometimes he'll line up in the backfield as running back. But yeah, also as the game went on, we definitely needed to pass more. So obviously we didn't run it near the end.
For sure. So my little follow-up question is, when you have a player as diverse as Isaac, does it frustrate you at all that, you know, like, obviously he's a great player and everything, but you know, you still want your fair share of time, or are you kind of understanding that, you know, whatever it takes and you'll take a backseat if that's necessary?
Yeah, I can understand it because I mean, he is a freak athlete. I mean, I feel like he can play anywhere on the field and he'll be successful at it. And he is probably, especially in high school, one of the best and most elusive, running quarterbacks I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So I can understand him getting like a lot of running reps.
Yeah, I'd have to piggyback off that. Last year he stepped in. You know, we weren't really sure who's going to be the starting quarterback with it was a competition between him and Tyce Tomey, and then Tyce got hurt and Isaac was ready.
Yeah.
And Isaac filled that role for the whole season. You know, Colton came in a little bit, but Isaac's really stepped into that, and he hasn't blinked.
Yeah.
Now you can see not only with his play style, but with the way he carries himself, he's never down. And he's one of the most confident guys in the room. And like Keaton said, he's a freak athlete. I mean, being a linebacker on defense going against him, it's I can say personally, it's hard to tackle him.
Yeah.
Hard to break down, and he's always moving. Yeah. I mean, he's a great player. And so I don't think there's any jealousy in the reps at all. As long as, you know, he's doing what he's doing, I'm cool with just watching.
Yeah.
I really he's fun to watch. Like I was saying about Keaton, he's one of those players that's just fun to watch, and you never know what he's going to do.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Bo Surface and Keaton Jones, everyone.
Thank you.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Dr. Dana Wright's Dental Studio, offering dental care for children and adults, as well as education for the maintenance of your dental health. More information is available by phone at 765-221-5900, on site at 113th South Heritage Way in Pendleton, or online at drdanawright.com. Dr. Dana Wright Dental Studio.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome to the short intercut between the Coaches Show as we are joined by two varsity women's soccer players, Josie and Amari. How are you guys doing today?
I'm great.
Great.
Good. So I've got a short list of questions for you guys. You're going to answer them. It's quite simple. It's just a little short interview. What position do you guys play?
I play left or right wing. Just depends on the game.
And I play center back, but not right now.
Okay. What are your expectations for the rest of the season, even though you may have had a little rocky start to the season?
So we've basically like gone over all the problems that we need to fix. So we're kind of just expecting to figure those out and play better as a team.
Yeah, and I guess our just expectation is to win.
Sounds like a great expectations. What are some things you guys could work on as a team?
Our confidence.
For sure.
Due to the rocky start, we've kind of been like really hard on ourselves.
Did you have like a lot of confidence going into the season?
Yeah. And then it all kind of got like, it all lowered after the first loss.
Yeah.
And we haven't really gotten it back yet.
As I look at conference play, you guys are 2-1. How do you guys feel about that?
We're not very happy about it because we kind of went into Greenfield expecting to win, but we still have a chance at winning conference due to the various scores between the games. So yeah. It's still good.
Yeah,
we still have a chance.
Yeah, there's time.
Josie, I seem to understand you've been injured a good portion of the season as you just came back and are gone again. What can you try to do to stay positive and encourage your teammates?
Well, it's been really easy because we have a really good staff on our team, especially our manager, and they all just kind of like lift me up, and then it makes me want to bring them up too because there's a lot of times that we're like down on ourselves.
I can understand that. Sounds great. Are there any games you guys kind of like have like circled on the schedule you guys are really looking forward to?
Mount Vernon.
What makes that game so interesting? You want to have it circled?
Because we've always had a rival. Every sport has a rivalry with Mount Vernon.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what makes it so special to have it circled on the soccer schedule?
Because we're going to win.
Yeah, and it's our senior night, so it should be special for the seniors as well.
Sounds good. Amari, I understand you scored 3 goals throughout the season so far. How does that boost your confidence and your team's confidence as a whole?
I'd just say that it showed that we were capable of doing it, and it kind of lifted us up because we have a chance in winning. So,
what is the off season like before your guys' season and after it ends? Hopefully the good thing. What does the off season look like for you guys?
We do lots of conditioning and practices throughout the week. Like this summer we had practice every day, like 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
And then we did our own stuff at home. So,
yeah.
That sounds very interesting. Do you guys like game plan, like preparation for like any teams or no?
We usually played a couple games. Like a little...
Like invitationals.
Yeah, like invitational stuff over the summer.
Like, does that count as like a record or no?
No.
No, just like practice.
So, as football, I play football, obviously. But we watch a lot of film on other teams. You guys do that for soccer?
Yeah. We just started that a few games ago.
What does that benefit for you guys?
We kind of get to watch over and like... That's honestly how we've identified a lot of our mistakes.
Yeah.
That it, we've like worked towards fixing in practices.
What are some things you guys do to fix the mistakes?
Well, we've had a lot of very long conversations before practices to like kind of set ourselves straight.
All right. What are some positives you've seen from the team so far this year?
We all have like a really good chemistry together. Like we all get along very well and we all boost each other up very well.
Why do you think that is?
I mean, we're all together all the time. Like we haven't had any like issues. It's all been good. And we all communicate very well.
So. Good. Amari, as you play wing, I believe, is that a lot of like chances to score goals for some people who don't know?
Yeah. It's usually one of the like positions that scores the most or gets the most chances.
So. She also crosses it in a lot.
I do cross it in to the...
What does that mean for people who don't know?
You just switch the field, like kick the ball to the complete opposite side.
Or to the middle.
Or to the middle. Or back or anywhere.
So you guys only have one sectional championship in your entire girls soccer thingy. Are you guys planning to make another run at the sectional championship?
Yeah.
We sure are.
For sure.
Good. Who are some teams that are in your guys' sectional?
Like last year we played Anderson and Noblesville, but before that we played like Muncie Central and...
From my understanding, Noblesville is one of the top teams in soccer.
Yeah.
So that's a very good competition, at least. Makes you guys quite better, I'd say. Do you guys do any, like, camps? Like, you guys would do, like, improve your team bonding or anything like that?
Yes, we actually did Valpo camp this summer for the first time, and that was a lot of fun.
So what do you guys do at your camp?
We practiced with a bunch of college coaches, and, like, the third day we went out on our own little adventure and, like, ran around the dunes.
So as you guys go to camp and get kind of taught by the college coaches, does that help your recruiting profile going into, like, trying to play college soccer?
Yeah, it does, because they all look and see what our experiences are.
That is good. So your guys' season, obviously, a little rocky start, 2-6-1. How can you guys improve your season so far?
We definitely need to have, like, a more positive outlook on it, because after the first, like, 2-3 losses, we kind of assumed that that was, like, it for us. But the more we've, like, talked about it and the more deep conversations we've had together, it's all kind of, like, brought our hope up, and we just need to be more confident.
How do you build that confidence, though?
Boosting each other up and, like, make it, like, we need to be sure that we know we have the skills to win games. We just have to display that.
All right. Well, that is all I have for you guys today. Thank you for your time, and you will be back on the Coach's Show in a second.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yeah! Yeah, I want to go outside. I want to be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
What makes education-based athletics in Indiana different from other youth sports programs?
Our coaches genuinely care about their student athletes as people, not just as athletes. And their top priority is teaching and mentoring, not winning and losing.
Our student athletes play for the love of the game. They have pride in their school and community. They want to represent something bigger than themselves.
Our parents and fans know the student athletes on the team. They've seen them grow up and care about them. They paint their faces, pack the stands, and cheer loud and proud. I'm Robert Falkins.
And I'm Carrie Rosati. We're both assistant commissioners of the IHSAA. High school sports in Indiana couldn't be more different from other youth sports programs.
And we wouldn't have it any other way. Be a champion of high school sports and buy a ticket to your high school's athletic events.
This is keeping education in front of athletics. This is passion you won't find anywhere else. This is your IHSAA.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. Welcome back to the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM. For me and Dawson's final segment, this segment we're going to be looking around the stable, I guess you can say, pretty much around the other Pendleton Heights sports going on at the high school. One really to mention, though, right now is the volleyball team. Their current overall record is 6-8 in the conference. They are 2-2, which is ending in fifth. At home, they are 5-4. Away, they're 4-2. And at a neutral site, which is your tournaments like the Madison County tournament or conference tournament, they are 7-2. So overall, having a pretty strong season. Not so much in the conference standings, but overall record is not too bad.
Yeah, for sure. Conference is tough. Hoosier Heritage, I mean, in all sports, they're not an easy conference to go up against. And that is true for volleyball as well, of course. They just had the Madison County tournament recently. They played a total of 5 rounds. They won it. 6th year straight winning the Madison County. First round was Anderson. They won that 2-0. Second round, Elwood 2-0. Alexandria Monroe 2-0. Madison Grant 2-0. And then finally, round 5, against Frankton in the championship, 2-0 as well. Pendleton Heights has been led so far this season by Michaela Ross. She had 9 kills in that Madison County tournament win. And on top of that, she's leading the team with 234 kills. Second place is another senior with Annie Canada, who has 128 kills. And yeah, as Michael was mentioning there, the volleyball team is having a very, very strong season so far. I think they're well past halfway. I think they got about fourth of their season left on the schedule there. But again, so far, very, very solid, and I'm excited to see where they can go. I think they can make a definite big run in the postseason.
Yeah, and then another team to mention for the Pendleton Heights Athletics is the boys soccer team. Their overall record is 7-2-1. That tie coming from the very first game of the season against Hamilton Heights, where they tied 1-1.
Yeah.
Their conference record is 3-0, which is first in the Hoosier Heritage. At home, they are 4-0. In neutral sites, they are 1-0. And they are on a three-game win streak, which is very, very good for them right now. And next week, not to mention, the conference, I guess, has a traveling trophy they call the Bell. It's around the Bell.
Yep.
Mount Vernon has it right now in the Hoosier Heritage Conference. They play Mount Vernon next Thursday at home for that Bell. They have a chance to win it. They said the Bell is very hard to get because you could play a team in the conference early in the season. They may not have the Bell. They could win the Bell later in the season. You can go undefeated in the conference and not win the Bell. They said the Bell is very hard to win. So they have a really good chance to win it this week, and I think that'll be a very, very good chance for them.
Oh, yeah. Similar to volleyball and similar to all sports I was just mentioning, Hoosier Heritage, it's a tough conference, and as you mentioned there with the Bell, it's not going to be an easy thing to win, but so far they're doing a good job at it. The three conference teams they've beaten, Greenfield Central, Yorktown, and Delta, all of them they've beaten by, I would say, a pretty wide margin. Greenfield Central was a close game, 1-0. Of course, that one being a win I was just mentioning. But Pendleton, this past week, as I was mentioning there, Wednesday, they had Yorktown on the road, conference matchup. They took them down 6-1. And then Delta, they had at home Thursday the 14th, they beat them 2-0. And on top of that, they had the Westfield Invitational. That was a week ago from today, last Saturday, the 9th. They went 1-1 in that Invitational. They lost to Culver Academics 5-0 in their first round, and then their second game of the Saturday was at 2:30 p.m. where they beat South Bend Washington 9-1. So solid performance there. Of course, you weren't able to get to that championship round, which I think was against Westfield. I think Westfield made it. I'm not sure the other team, but that would have been nice, but in the end, you still had an okay Saturday. Take a look at some of the stats for the boys' soccer side of things. Leading the team so far this season in goals has been, I think that's Dylan John. Yes, Dylan John, the sophomore. He has 8 goals, so only as a sophomore coming in, lead the team in goals. It's very solid, and I think that's a bright future for the Arabians, and more specifically, Dylan John. Another player to mention, Hover Mail Jr., 5 goals. He's been having a good year. And then Wefflin as well as Jacob Sikorsky, 4 goals each. So I think Pendleton Heights so far, they've been playing good team soccer. I've been able to catch a game, but they've looked okay. And at least by the record side of things, they're looking very, very solid.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I've been to a couple of their games. I went to their season opener against Hamilton Heights. It was a very good game. We had a great student section. A lot of the football team guys showed out because they know guys on the football team. A backup kicker, Wyatt DeBertrand, he's on the soccer team. He's one of the better players on the team. And as you mentioned there, Grayson Hoovermail and Dylan Johns, they are both very electric players. Dylan, not the biggest guy on the team, no doubt about that, but he is a very, very hard-nosed player. He's very strong, and he is not afraid to get in there and go after the ball. Same thing with Grayson Hoovermail. Some may consider probably the best player on the Pendleton Heights boys soccer team. He's their leader. He's their center back. He plays midfield. He does everything. He's a very vocal leader, and he's a very good player for this team. But another thing sticking with soccer is the girls soccer team. Not having the strongest season overall. Record is 3-6-1, but their Hoosier Heritage Conference record is 3-1, which is third for the Hoosier Heritage Conference. So they've played very strong in the conference, not so strong overall, but their first few games they played some of the top teams in the state, so you really can't count a few of those losses against them.
Oh yeah, they schedule tough opening up. I mean, you got teams like Noblesville, Avon, Carmel, and all those teams very, very, very good when it comes to all sports, including girls soccer. But I think, as you're mentioning, one thing to look at here for girls soccer, not only are you 3-1 in the conference, putting them in third place, but on top of that, you're riding a 2-game winning streak. And as you listeners just heard in that previous segment with the two soccer players for the girls, they said that that's exactly what they're trying to get. They're trying to get the mentality that, yes, you lost. You were riding, I think, your first, let me quickly count here, you lost your first six games. You started 0-6. You beat Shelbyville, and then since then, you haven't lost another one. So I think that that's exactly what Pendleton Heights girls soccer needed. They needed a win to gain their confidence heading forward, and that's exactly what they did. And they haven't suffered a loss since that sixth loss on the season. They had a tie against North Central. North Central is not an easy team. So the girls soccer are looking very, very solid this year. I think although you only got, let's see, you only got five games left on the schedule, one of them today at 12 p.m. against Delta. That's home. I highly recommend you coming out to support the Arabians, the Lady Arabians. But, I mean, yes, you don't have much of the schedule left, but you still have a chance to get to 500 if you win at the very least three games. Of course, you're going to have to win more than that. I think four would be the actual number. But so I think, again, that win there at the beginning definitely gave them that boosted confidence. That win, which was on the 5th of the September against Shelbyville, gave them that confidence, and they were able to ride that for a couple more wins, now sitting again at 3-6-1.
Yeah, but on that note, that will do it for me and Dawson here this morning and the Coach's Show as a whole. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you to all of our sponsors for providing us with some great opportunity to give us a chance to move on in our careers in this, if we want to continue our careers, obviously. Thank you to, obviously, our great directors, Mr. Whitehair and Miss Ruggles. They do a great job making sure that we're on task in class and stuff like that. But yeah, Dawson, any closing remarks?
Yeah, it was a good coach show. Thanks to Ryan in the studio, making sure our broadcast here this morning runs smoothly. And again, thanks to all listening.
Yeah, well, that will do it for me and Dawson. I'm Michael Hooker, signing off for the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.